This is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kirsty, for that wonderful reading. Lord God, we thank you for Ben. We thank you for what you've laid on his heart to share with us this morning. We thank you, Lord, for his family. Pray that you bless them back in South Africa. And Lord, would you speak through him this morning? Thank you, Lord, that we are part of a global family.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters throughout the world. And thank you, Lord, that we get to be part of that. And Lord, would you speak through him to us, to our hearts, to this church, to your people this morning? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. So good morning. As Phil said, my name is Ben or Benjamin. And it's great to be in the UK. I'm just coming down because you're so far. And as Phil said, I'm aging. I need glasses. So before I start, I thank you for having me. Hey? This is a beautiful place, a beautiful building. I met so many fantastic people this morning in the first service. And, you know, I love just this, what you're doing with this space. I love how you open it up. I love old buildings and architecture, but I believe this is that it must be a tool that serves the church. The church is the people. It's the body of Christ. And also, I just want to take a wee second just to thank you two, Phil and Bex and Anwin and Lucy and Ted. These guys support me in South Africa. And guys, thanks for the opportunity for coming to speak this morning. I really appreciate it. And so really when I was preparing, I felt like I wanted to bring an encouragement this morning. But I also want to bring some petrol and pour it on the fire, if that makes sense. Because what I felt the Lord was saying was that, actually, well done, church. I felt that this is a church which is getting to grips with what is our mission? What are we doing? How are we changing and affecting the culture around us and the people of this town, Harrogate? And so I want to say well done, but I also want to pour some fire on that as well. And I believe God has got more for you as a church. He is rich. He is big. He doesn't run dry. He doesn't run out. And I want to speak on the mission of God this morning. And I've got a lot to say, and I've got a very short time to say it. And I promised Phil, actually, I need to time myself. I promised Phil that I would only speak for 50 minutes, because in Africa, you can kind of just, when you finish is when you finish, you see. And so I actually want to speak out of Luke 24 as well, and I'm also going to go to one or two other texts, but we've got this great commission which was so beautifully read in Matthew 28. And we know the Great Commission, it's the last words of Jesus. But we tend to think about it as being an add-on. You know, the big stuff has happened, and Jesus kind of gives us this thing at the end, and it's something that we have to go do. And it is something that we do. But I want to say it's much more fundamental to the gospel than perhaps we thought. So I want to read you this bit from Luke 24, which illustrates that quite nicely, I think. So reading from verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Jesus, in a sense, is saying, look, all of the Old Testament, it points to me. But he's saying more than that, because he's not just saying, so listen to this. The Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. It's not an add-on, it's right in there. Jesus is saying, all of that, it means this. He's paraphrased the entire Old Testament. And so I want to suggest this morning that there are four keys, four principles that we can learn from just this little bit of scripture that can help us understand the mission of God. And I want to suggest to you this morning that those keys are this: humility, that we know Christ and his death and resurrection, that God has a mission, and finally, that we need Holy Spirit if we're going to do this mission. And so then first, to humility. You know, I remember when I first went out to South Africa, I really knew very little, but I thought I knew a lot. And you can imagine the disciples. I mean, look at these guys. They've been with Jesus for 3 years full time, and yet Jesus still has to come and explain what it's all about to them. We can have an assurance of the gospel, but we need humility if we're going to understand how to live it out. We need to be learners, and we need to approach our culture that way. We need a posture of heart that does this. Service, listening, engaging. So often in church, dare I say this, we become so used to the way things are done that we forget that actually we need to learn all the time. We do a program or a course and it may be brilliant, but we think, oh, now I've got it, now I can relax, now I can sit back. When actually God is always doing something new. He, as culture changes, God is not foreign to that. He's got the plan. But if we lack that posture of heart, we will miss what he's doing. First thing. Second thing, to know Christ in his death and resurrection. You know, we've just had Easter, right? But this is what I think, is I think that, I mean, Jesus is talking here. He's talking about that that repentance might come and the forgiveness of sins might come. And this is the heart of the gospel. But why is that? Why did Jesus come and die? It wasn't just so we wouldn't feel guilty. But it was so that we could be reconnected to the heart of the Father. So we could have intimacy with God. This is the point of the cross, that Jesus, he cries out and he goes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where have you gone? But it's so that we can have the Father back, so that we can be connected, so we can be made alive in our spirit to God. And this is key. We need to understand the gospel. We need to understand the value and the cost of what Jesus has done. And when we understand that love of God, it's not that I see mission as this thing now, oh, I need to motivate, I need to work myself up to something to go do it, but actually out of the great love that I've experienced from God, my heart just naturally, hey, can I, you know, it's what I talk about, it's what I gravitate to. When evangelism scares us, when sharing our faith scares us, is actually most of the time what we need is just a deeper revelation of who he is. And I think very often the gospel is caught, not taught. Like we heard a testimony this morning of a lady who said, I saw somebody who was a Christian and I didn't really know they were a Christian, but there was something about them. And what is that? It's a relationship with God. It's alive. It's dynamic. It's not dead. It's not stagnant. So then why do we do mission? Well, I want to read you this little bit from Revelation, and this changed my perspective, because when I went out to Africa, part of the reason I went is because I felt sorry for people. People are poor. It's a hard life. I worked and lived in a township there for a year. But compassion is not enough. But listen to the words that John writes in Revelation. This is a context in Revelation 5, is that there's a scroll and it's sealed. And people are weeping because they're saying, who's worthy to open it? And this is what John records. He says, "Then I saw a lamb looking at it as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And they sang a new song saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God.'" Amazing. Jesus is worthy. What does it mean to be worthy? It means that you deserve something. You know, I was up with two of my brothers. We reconnected the other day. We were in Lake Windermere. We stayed at a B&B and we went out for a nice, we had a nice walk, nice cup of tea. So we sat in this, it's actually a garden centre. We sat in this garden centre. My brothers ordered the tea, very kindly paid for it. It comes in two pots. And my brother pours, and his tea's looking like my other brother pours. And what comes out is hot water. So what do? £2 for that tea, that garden centre. That's an expensive cup of tea where I'm from. What do? Do we just say, oh, too bad, so sad? No, we went up to the counter and we said to the chap, excuse me, you forgot to put a tea bag in here. What did he do? He gave it us because we paid for it. We have this beautiful triune God who entered our reality. But he didn't just enter our reality and pay for us and win us back, but he made us in the first place. He's paid for us twice. How worthy is Jesus to receive our worship? It is a deep injustice that people are giving their worship to lesser idols. And not just lesser idols, but idols which are going to destroy them. Jesus is worthy of his worship. And so when we engage in mission for that reason, we find a freedom in it. We find an overflow, because our source isn't our own heart. It's not our own compassion. This is limited. This is finite. But the love of God is infinite. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Mission is part of who God is. You've got this burning passion, this burning love in the Trinity. And yet God wouldn't stay in that perfect union. He would say, let's create, let's make. He's always doing something out of himself. And then when the creation turns away from him, when we reject him as king, what does he do? What's the first thing he does? Is he comes down. And then think about what God has been doing. He's been using people, but he's always been busy. He calls this family Abraham, and he gives his promise, and he says, I'm going to bless you, but through you, all the nations are going to be blessed. And he calls this people, the Israelites, a whole people to himself. Listen to this. Jesus embodied both the identity and mission of Israel. He is the fulfillment of that Old Testament promise, the Abrahamic covenant. It's through Jesus that we all got blessed. We all got to be part of God's family. Mission isn't accidental, and it's not a New Testament thing. It's part of the very character of God. And part of the reason that's liberating is this, is because very often when it comes to thinking about sharing our faith and evangelism, we feel like, oh, I need to come and I need to bring the gospel. Rubbish. God is at work in our culture, in this church, in your family, in our culture, in Harrogate. And so my assumption is that God is doing something. So then my question is, God, what are you doing? What are you doing in this person, Lord? And how does that work? It works by listening to the person. By having a conversation. By asking Holy Spirit, what are you saying? It's not so much that God has a mission for his church, but God has a church for his mission. We are not the end of the gospel. The appropriate response to a God who gave everything to us is not that we might say a prayer, invite Jesus into our hearts, and then wait for eternity to start happening. But it's actually that we would say, in response to God's great love, Lord, there's nothing that you can't ask me. Lord, I will pour out my life. I will give everything to you. Because I love you. Because you first love me. Holy Spirit is already working. He's equipped us. He's given us spiritual gifts to partner with him. It's liberating that. It takes a lot of pressure off, actually. Because I don't need to lead someone to a moment. I just need to reflect the Christ that's in me. And so much of our time, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we need to get to a point where this person can pray a special prayer. It's helpful sometimes when someone crosses the line of faith that they might do that. But my job is not to lead someone to that moment. It's to introduce them to the Jesus that is already working in their life. They just don't know it. And it's my privilege to do that. I get to partner with what God is doing. He can actually do it without me. He doesn't need me. We need to draw out the gospel. You know, we're made in God's image already. So how do we do this? Look. See. Listen. Really simple. It's not complicated. One of the biggest things I've learned is this. You probably won't believe me when I tell you, but I'm used to be a very shy person. And part of the reason for that, Beck's laughing because by the time she knew me, I wasn't. But part of the reason for that is I was very afraid. I was very timid. I was very worried about what people would think about me. And so God has slowly liberated me from some of those worries and expectations that maybe other people have. And I try and live my life like this to an audience of one. But you know, one of the things that I believe is that, you know, if God has made people, if he's at work in them, how can I not be interested in them? And so I will arrange my life so that I can talk and I can meet people. And I can communicate with people and I can say hello and I can have time. Because whatever task I'm doing, the person stood in front of me is infinitely more valuable than that task. So sometimes it makes me late for things, I won't lie. But then, let me just give you a snapshot. We were up in the lakes, like I said, and we stayed at a nice B&B. There was a lady there that we met on the first day, and you know, as we went in, basically we needed the loo. You know, we travelled up from Preston and we were early, and so, you know, we knocked on the door and she was like, "You're early." But I was just polite, it was just friendly. We said, you know, "What's your name? What are you doing? Is it okay if we come in and use the toilet and stuff?" So we just started a bit of a conversation. And then we saw her a little bit later on that day and she said, "Oh, well, boys, look, I hope you have a good trip back tomorrow because I'm not going to be working." And then I got up early that morning. I was doing some work. Nobody was around in the B&B and I was sat in the breakfast room there. And she came in and I said, "Oh, I didn't think you were working today." She said, "Oh, I got called in at the last minute." And then she said, "Oh, you know, but I'm not too upset about it because I'm saving up for my holidays." And so I said to her, I said, "Well, where are you going? What are you doing?" She said, "Actually, I'm going to the Wirral where I was born and I'm going to see my elderly parents. They're in the 90s. And my dad is basically fading." And she said, "You know, it's a terrible thing that I say it like this, but," she said, "I'm kind of hoping that he's going to go and pass on." And then she started to tell me about what she believes about life after death and what she thinks. And I just listened. I just sat there and listened. And I was like, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? And then she turned to me and she said, but what do you believe? And I said, well, I said, I'm a big fan of Jesus. And I didn't have to preach at her or anything. And as soon as I said the word Jesus, she was like, whoop. You know, I could see that the guard going up a little bit. But she just gave me an opportunity just to say, I just shared a few very, very basic things. And I just said to her, Sue, I believe Jesus loves you very much. And then she quickly moved the conversation on to other religions and things like that. But, you know, we sow in faith, in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I trust that God is working in a life. And so I'm like, oh, more, Lord. And so then people came into the breakfast room and our conversation was finished. But God, in His infinite wisdom, has got a body of hundreds of thousands of His people in this nation. And your simple act of obedience or being friendly or engaging somebody, in some way modeling the love of Christ to somebody, is not in isolation. And I'm like this, is God, you are sovereign, work out your plan. Let me just be obedient to what you're calling me to do today, right now. It's enough. And so I want to leave you with that thought, and I want to leave you with this encouragement, is to go to Luke 24 and unpack it and think on some of these things, because these are foundational things. They're not really nuanced, but it's simple things that we can put into practice as well. So let me pray. Jesus, we thank you that you're calling us into a big mission, Lord. That you're wanting to restore all of creation, and God, mostly people that you've placed your precious image on. And Jesus, we want to thank you that you've died for us. And I pray, God, you would release new life in us today. God, a fresh excitement for who you are. And Jesus, we want to say that you are worthy to receive worship. And Jesus, as we go about our day to day this week, Jesus, let our worship to you be the obedience to what you're calling us into, what you're calling us to be. And Jesus, would you shine through us as people, as your people? God, would you help us to see what you're doing in Harrogate in the lives of our friends, in the lives of people around us that we may not know? And Jesus, our prayer is that your kingdom would come in this place. Amen.